Dit is 'n groot voorreg om hier te kan wees vanoggend. Wow. Om in die koue in te kan stap, maar die warm atmosfeer ook te kan voel, is regtig besonders. En my vingerpunte sukkel so 'n bietjie warm te raak. Dis nog 'n Maar ek het hier Hentas gegroet en ek agtergekom daar's 'n broer wat my voel. Sy vingerpunte gaan hierdie selfe pyn en foltering waardeur myne gaan. Maar wat 'n voorreg om hier te kan wees en to be able to be in God's presence with you guys, as Neil said, the Lord's presence is amazing. It's incredible. But to be in God's presence together, it's almost as if it just the specialness of it just increases even more. And I think each one of us can testify to the fact that, you know, our relationship with Jesus is so important. That personal, intimate relationship with Jesus is crucial. And no one else can make the decision for us. No one else can walk our walk for us. Maar het is soveel lekkerder en beter om Jesus nie alleen een kant in 'n hoekie hoef te dien nie. Amen. Maar mense saam te kan dien en saam sy naam groot te kan maak en saam mekaar te kan bemoedig en te kan groei en uit te daag en mekaar ook in die oë te kan kyk en te sê, hey man, ek is lief vir jou en ek waardeer jou. En dit is regtig 'n ongelooflike plesier om hier te kan kom in Shofar Wellington. You guys have such an incredible spirit of hospitality, such a warmth. I always come in here, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Every time I come here, it's just like next level in terms of the warmth, the hospitality, the friendliness, the passion. We arrived here at about 8:30 this morning, and there was this big group gathered outside on the stairs, and I ran into the bathroom, and while I was in the bathroom, I heard a few guys just sharing, some of the team leaders sharing. Man, I was about to just repent there in the bathroom. There was such an anointing there. There was such passion. I'm like, yes, like it. Why am I here to preach? These guys are already preaching. It's so amazing. It's almost like a mini church service before the service. So there's obviously something beautiful that's happening here. And just every time we arrive here, we see this, that prayer map against that wall. That is just incredible. You guys praying for your valley and the stage there at the back for the teens. That's amazing. And you guys have the ability to make a school hall feel like somebody's home, you know, which isn't easy. So I want to commend the volunteers again. Thank you so much for that. That is amazing. Really is amazing. So I always come here and I snap away and take pictures and I steal ideas of things that we're gonna go back home with and say, guys, I just had this idea, man. Now we'll give honor where honor is due. Frankie Niels, they're doing it this way and it's working. But you know, more than anything else, I was just thinking about it, and this morning's topic of my sermon is the heart of the matter. And I shared this with our pastors last week. We had an amazing pastor summit, just all the pastors from all over South Africa and the globe came together. We had Derkian from Utrecht there, we had Everest from Burundi there, and guys from Namibia and all over South Africa. We came together, and it was so amazing to just see what God is doing in our midst, to have brothers and sisters come together and just really just enter into God's presence. Every day we just entered into God's presence and prayed and worshipped and just encouraged one another and shared words. And Frankie Niels also shared an amazing session on just hospitality and just the heart, creating a culture of love. That was such an amazing session, guys, I must tell you. To choose whether we're going to operate under a spirit of love or a spirit of fear. And it's a love that drives out fear. But each time we engage with one another, we can choose whether we engage in fear, whether we engage in love. And that was such an inspirational session, guys. So thank you so much for that. And we chatted with one another about, you know, the amazing things that God has given us. And I mean, this, what you guys are experiencing here, it's incredible. But I just realized that again this morning, being here, as incredible as all of these things are that you are putting in place to make this place feel like home, it really isn't so much about these things. It's about the heart behind those things. That those things are flowing out of a heart that has been shifted and a heart that is aligned with God's heart. Because you can have all of these things and not have the heart and miss it completely. And I don't know how many of you have been in homes that are majestic and beautiful on the outside, and yet it's cold on the inside. It's a house, but it's not a home. And I think this congregation, you guys have something here where it's more about the amazing decor. Thank God for the incredible decor. It's more than amazing worship. Thank God for incredible musicians. There's a heart here. And I really believe that for us as a Shofar Church family, God has been taking us on this journey where he has been bringing us back to, remember the Matt Redman song many years ago? I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm coming back to the essence of it all. And I shared a few thoughts with our leaders, and I want to share this with you guys as well. I'm trusting I'll be able to get around to the other congregations as well to share this with them, but you're going to be the first, so I'm going to give it to you. All right, let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that we can be in your presence. And God, it would have been so sad this morning if we came together simply to listen to a man, simply to come together, God, because it is what we do on a Sunday. And we go back home untouched and unaware of your majesty and your beauty and your love. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for the veil that was torn, Jesus, through your blood, so we can come and not just know about you, but know you. So we can come and put our fingers in your side and in your hands and your feet and know that you are real and your love is real. Thank you for inviting us, God, closer this morning. And we just surrender to you. We pray, Lord, come and have your way with our hearts. Come and do what only you can do, Jesus. Amen. So Proverbs 4 verse 23, I want to start there. Sure, there's such an anointing in this place. The presence of God. Proverbs 4:23. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is mostly confirmation. All of you guys, I know most of you know this and it's in your hearts, but I'm trusting God for circumcision of our hearts this morning, that it will really sink in here, because what we have and what you guys have been working through and thinking through and praying through is, it's not just about coming together and experiencing God here, but it is also about multiplying. Amen. It's about multiplying what God has given you and to take that somewhere else. And we have to think about, what is it that we are multiplying as a Shofar Church family, where God has called us to the nations, has called us as sent ones. And I believe you guys are just praying as to what that means, and you just inculcating it into your culture. Jullie maak 'n deel van jullie DNA en jullie cultuur. Wat betekent dit om gestuurdes te wees? Wat is dit in Afrikaans? Nee, om uitgestuur te wees daar waar ons leef en waar ons werk en waar ons speel. Wat betekent dit? En op die einde van die dag kom dit mos maar daarop neer dat ons verteenwoordig iemand anders. Is dit nie waar nie? It's we represent someone else. And primarily, we're not representing Shofar. When you go out to go and work, when you go out to engage at school or wherever God has placed you, you're not going out and you shouldn't be thinking first and foremost, what should a good Shofar I do? You should not be thinking, I'm representing Shofar Wellington here. I'm thinking, I'm representing the King. I'm representing Jesus. I'm representing the kingdom. And it is our desire that when we go anywhere else, we make disciples, and when we reach other people, we don't want to make disciples of Heinrich or of Niels or of Shofar. We want to make disciples of Jesus. Amen. And so it is important for us always to come back to the basics and to think about what makes us who we are. What is it that we are busy building? What is it that we're busy protecting? What is it that we're busy trusting God to multiply? And at the end of the day, the greatest resource in any church is not the amazing coffee machine there at the back. It's incredible as it is. I know it's a tremendous church growth strategy, incredible coffee. It is. It just brings people to their knees sometimes. In worship, it's like incredible. Sometimes I think some people need to repent of worshiping at the altar of coffee, but it's okay, you know, the Lord uses everything. But all of those things, the greatest asset any church can have is the heart of its people. Julle is hierdie gemeente se grootste bate, meer as enigiets anders. En daarom is het so belangrik dat elkeen van ons 'n bestekopname moet doen van ons hart. Want dit is ons hart op die einde van die dag wat die rigting van hierdie gemeente gaan bepaal. In Spreuke 4 vers 23, in I've got a few different English translations there, it says, guard your heart above all else. For it, your heart, determines the course of your life. Your heart determines the course, the direction of your life. So if you are sitting here in this congregation, you are living here in Wellington, then it is true to say that something happened in your heart a while ago. Something happened in your heart that awakened your heart to Wellington. Something happened in your heart that awakened your heart to Shofar, to this congregation. Something happened in your heart that awakened your heart to the person sitting next to you, if that person is your spouse. Something happened in your heart that stirred your heart to work at the school where you are working or to work at that engineering company where you are working. Your heart somewhere down the line had a connection with something that steered your life. Now, the reason why some people are working at a company where they're working at maybe is because a long time ago, their heart connected with a desire that said, I will never, ever in my life be poor. And that heart connection shaped the direction of their studies, shaped the direction of their choice of company to work for. Maybe even for some people, the reason why they chose to be married to someone or not to marry someone else, because there was something in their hearts a long time ago that connected to a fear that said, I will never be overshadowed by a strong female personality because my mom was like this, or whatever the case might be. Our hearts shape the direction, the course of our lives much more than what we think. And that the whole world is geared towards saying to us, but you've got to base your life upon the externals. The phone that you have, or the car that you drive, or the house in which you live, or the brand clothing that you wear. And yet, the word is so clear on it, that it is your heart and not the externals that ultimately determine the direction of your life. Keep your heart with all vigilance, the ESV says. Keep it protected. Be vigilant around your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. I love that. You're stirring up deep, deep wells, that song we sing. Deep, deep wells get stirred from where? Ultimately, the song can move us to move to the right and to move to the left. The song can do that. But ultimately, if your heart isn't stirred, it's simply emotion you go through. And you can be moving all over the place and be the one that does the greatest jive and everything. But if your heart isn't stirred, then it's simply an external expression and a religious activity. Amen? But your heart, if your heart is stirred, then from that place flow the springs of life. The joy, the peace, the creativity, the imagination, everything that you need, the capacity to forgive, the ability to reconcile, all of that flows from where? From the heart. And so it is true to say that even with all of our busyness and all of our church activity, we cannot afford to neglect the state of our hearts. You know, every so often we hear about somebody went to run the Comrades or some other race, and then all of a sudden that person had a heart attack. And it was like, but he was so fit. Niemand had gesien kom nie. But there was stuff on the inside of the heart that was building up, maybe that was ignored for too long. Above all else, the NIV says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And so my conversation with all of us really is just this. When the music fades and everything is stripped away, the coffee has been packed away, what goes on in your heart? What's the conversation that's going on in your heart when everything else slows down and quiets down? A couple of weeks ago, my dad had this experience. Maybe some of us, unfortunately, have been victims of as well. He puts his little bank card in the ATM. Thing doesn't work. So he steps away to cancel the card, phone the bank. In that moment where his phone in the bank, somebody cloned the thing, wiped out everything in his bank account. It's just like 87 Rand left. And so I'm upset and I'm like phoning him and dad, yeah, so what happened? And we must do this and do that. And eventually go around to go and visit him. And he says, I've decided the devil can take my money, but he won't take my joy. Huh? He can take my money, but he won't take my joy. And like, dit is 'n hartskondisie daai. He's made a choice that my joy doesn't lie in my bank balance. My joy is rooted in something beyond that. En dit is wanneer daai tipe druk op ons kom, daai krisisse op ons kom, wanneer ons regtig agterkom wat gaan hier in die hart aan. Dit is wanneer jou teleurstelling kom, dis wanneer die ding nie uitwerk soos wat jy wil hê dit moet uitwerk nie. Wanneer jy sien wat kom in jou hart uit. So Matteus 15 vers 8 tot 9, Jesus is besig om met die fariseërs te gesels en die fariseërs kom na Jesus toe. Hulle kom al die pad van Jerusalem af kom konfronteer hom en sy disippels oor die feit dat Jesus se disippels nie hulle hande was voor hulle eet nie. Jesus was vir hulle nie soseer die higieniese ding as 'n godsdienstige ding. En hulle kom en hulle konfronteer Jesus. Hy sê, Jesus, wat se tipe disippels is hierdie? They are not doing things the way they should be doing it. And then Jesus turns the thing around on them and he confronts them actually and he says to them, listen, guys, you are missing the point. You're wanting to talk to my disciples about not washing their hands before they're eating. I want to talk to you about honoring your mother and your father. You see, you are not honoring your parents. You've got this thing you say, if you just say raka and put them away and you can put them away. Julle mis die punt. Julle kom beklei so oor kleinighede. Wat gaan in jou hart aan teenoor jou ma en jou pa? Dis vir my belangriker. En dan trek hy dit terug en hy quoteer uit Jesaja uit en hy sê, true, it's been said of you that this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And, you know, it is so easy for us in our environment to look at that and say, oh, those Pharisees, they should have known better. Het soms lees ons die Ou Testament, nee, en it's like, is daar Israelite? Dig! Hoeveel keer moes God nie met hulle gepraat het, deur die profete, en nog steeds voeter hulle aan en doen dieselfde ding oor en oor en oor. En dan moet ek maar vir myself sê, daar is 'n stukkie fariseer hier binnen, hè. Daar is 'n stukkie onbesnede Israeliet hier binnen in my. Wat so gemakkelijk is met die externe dinge. Because it is easier to go with the program. It is easier for somebody else to tell me, alright, ons gaan 3 liedjies sing, en dan die derde liedjie gaan 'n stadiger liedjie wees, en dan gaan ons diep gaan daar, en dan dit is hoe ons dinge doen, en dis wanneer ek gee, en hoeveel ek gee, en wanneer ek bid, en vir wie ek moet bid, dis it's easier, very often, to have somebody else tell us how our relationship with God needs to be. Something inside of us resents it, on the one level. On the other level, it's also comforting. And I believe that God has been just liberating us from an externally minded focus. You know, it's beautiful and it's amazing as our corporate branding and all of those things are. It's never about the externals. Those things at best are signposts. A little beacons along the way to direct people, to remind people of who God is. But it's never about the branding. It's never about the external things. It's about what's going on here in the heart. And I think all of us, even as spiritful believers, maybe especially even as spiritful believers, we have to understand we can also fall into the trap of religion very quickly. And if we think that we can't, we're probably in it already. As ek dinge gaan nooit met my gebeur nie. En 'n gesprek met my seun gehad nou die dag oor die foon en al die dinge op die foon en wat mense kyk op die goed en so aan en nou vra hy vir my, maar joh, ons het sagte ware op die foon, ek kan sien wat hy sien en ek kan seker goedjies blok en al die tipe dinge. Covenant Eyes is een baie goeie app en Kio Studio is 'n ander goeie app. Ouers, moet asseblief nie daai ding sommer net gee nie, né? Dit is te gevaarlike implement. Alright, we trust our children with a lot. You give them a phone, it is a massive responsibility. And we as parents have to be responsible in the way that we train them how to use that. And there's a responsibility upon us as well, because I think many of us will have to think about how am I using my phone. So, ek gooi dit maar net daar uit, net so langs die kant, gooi hom maar uit, vang hom as jy wil, gebruik hom of nie. Maar ons die gesprek oor die foon, en wat ek kan sien, en hy is nou maar so'n bietjie eet, maar is hierdie reg, vraag hy vir my. Is hierdie reg, dat papa al hierdie goed moet sien? You know, this doesn't feel right. I'm not asking you to do anything, I'm not doing myself. I've got an accountability partner that knows what I'm doing on my phone. En is like, joh, my papa is dan al amper 50. Sê nie, ek sal my so oud nie, maar... I'm wanting to walk in integrity. I'm wanting to make sure that what I tell him, I'm also living that. I can just give him a recipe, or I can try and convey the heart to him, that I understand that as soon as I think I'm beyond the temptations on the phone, it's not going to happen to me, I'm in trouble. As soon as I think I'm standing, and I will always be standing, I'm not vigilant, the devil can come in. And so it is important for us to evaluate just even our spiritual life, our spiritual existence, the things that we go through, and look at our hearts. And I know that for you guys and for this church, that your desire is absolutely not to be people that will honor God with their lips and have their hearts far from him. I know that this church, that your lips and your hearts are synced, nicely synced and close to one another. But I also know easily it can happen that our lips can sometimes be removed from our hearts. And I'm wanting to ask you guys to, during the next few minutes, really just to think and even take this week and ask yourself, my lips and what I'm professing and what I'm singing, is that a reflection of what is in my heart? And if it is not, that I will make some time to sort out my heart so that what I'm professing, what I'm singing, what I'm declaring can really come out of that spring of life. And so Jesus goes on to say to them, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person, not the stuff you put into your mouth, what comes out of your mouth. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. And so I was sharing with our pastors that what we are looking at for our shofar congregations and for our leaders is not outward conformity. It is not the eating with unclean hands. It's not the things on the outside that we do differently that determine whether our hearts are aligned. It's what's going on in the heart. And so, guys, that is why preaching the gospel is so powerful and so needed. I mean, the army is just moving into the Cape Flats as we speak. Why? Because of the evil thoughts that are just running amok in those communities, because of the murder, the adultery, the sexual immorality, the theft, the false witness, the slandering, that is just, you know, unbridledly going on, taking people captive, literally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And so the army is going in there. Why? To try and put a stop to that on the surface, on the externals. But we know unless the gospel gets preached and unless the hearts change, because it is out of the heart that the evil thoughts come. It's out of the heart that the murder comes. It's out of the heart that the adultery comes. So every heart that gets saved, every person we meet as sent ones, is one less evil thought, one less murder, one less adultery, one less sexual immorality, one less theft. You understand why the heart is so important, why preaching the gospel is so crucial. Because you can change everything. You can change all the laws. You can build new homes. You can have all the most wonderful community transformation taking place. And praise God for the amazing projects that you guys are doing. But unless the heart changes, you're just putting another label on the same thing. En ons land het hartsverandering nodig, saints. Hartsverandering. En God roep vir ons om 'n profetiese groep mense te wees, wat uit die hart uit met mekaar engage, uit die hart uit met mekaar leef, uit die hart uit hart tot hart gesprekke kan hê met mekaar. Hart tot hart. Acts 15, verse 15 to 17. I'm not going to read those verses, but we see there that James stands up and James says, guys, we are living in a time when God is busy restoring the tabernacle of David. He's busy restoring the tabernacle of David. And it's important for us to know that. So when we think about having a house one day, a spiritual or physical house, standing in faith with you, that the Lord provide that for you guys.
God is busy restoring the tabernacle of David. A place, a community of worship, a community of believers that come together, that relate to God based on living from the inside out. Because that was David's legacy. He had this ability to connect with God from his heart. You know, people around David, they were impressed by David when he slew Goliath on the battlefield. They saw an external victory and they thought, man, this guy can do it. God was impressed with David because of what he saw amongst the sheep when nobody else saw it. That is what impressed God. Not slaying Goliath. Slaying Goliath was what impressed the people. What impressed God was when nobody was around and David chose to worship God, chose to write his songs, chose to just remain in an attitude of intimacy with God. And so often we can do even church based upon what impresses people. What will make our church look nice and our church look wonderful? And I believe God has come to cleanse us as a shofar family of that, that contamination. Because at one stage, it wasn't that pleasant, was it? Always. That comfortable to say, ek is in shofar. En ons gaan deur 'n moeilike tyd, maar ek is in shofar. Because I'm not basing this upon the externals. What people are thinking, what people are saying. I'm basing this upon God having called us to be family. On the internals. All right, and so constantly I'm having to look at my own life and I have to ask myself, am I living according to the spirit of Saul or the spirit of David? The spirit of Saul is I want to impress people. I want to please people. I want to make sure people like me. The spirit of David is I want to please God. First and foremost, I want to please God. And Saul was the guy that tried to sacrifice his way into winning God's favor. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22. Samuel confronts Saul after Saul's sin. Saul didn't want to wait for Samuel. People were getting agitated and they were getting impatient. And so Saul starts sacrificing. And Samuel comes and confronts him. And he says to him, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to listen than the fat of rams. It says, Saul, you're missing the point. It's not about the externals. It's not about the amount of goats and bulls and sheep that you slaughter. It's about what's going on the inside. And you can do all the sacrifices, and yet in your heart, you can be rebellious. David, on the other hand, Psalm 51, his psalm of repentance. He understands this, and he says to God, God, you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. He will not be pleased with a burnt offering. Remember, he's just sinned. He's murdered someone. He's committed rape and he's confronted with his sin. And he has to think about how am I going to restore my relationship with God? And it is during the moment of our greatest weakness or our greatest failure or our sin that we truly understand who's having the most authority over my spirit here. Because when everything is going well, it's lucky to worship Jesus. It's easier. You can enter into his presence, man, and just high-fiving everyone, boom, 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 because, you know, I'm doing well. My quiet time is going great. And I feel like, yeah, man, I'm getting the hang of this Christian thing. Yes, like, but when the flesh pops up, and you see some stuff, you know, anyone who's had kids, you know, as those kids grow older, you begin to see some stuff in them that you see, goeie genigtig, dis mos my vlees daai. Is dat enige iemand wat al, dis die deel wat ek nog nie oorwinning oor gekry het, wat nou daar uitkom. And you're like, oh my word, Jesus, have mercy on me and on them, deliver us all. You know, and then sometimes it's not, you know, like, yes, like, ek moes hierdie ding al 20 jaar terug oorwin het. And I can see the consequences of that. And my kids are having to battle through that. You know, for me, that's like, because I'm like, God, I want to build a legacy. I want my kids to you know, my ceiling needs to be their foundation. I want them to go further than I possibly can. I believe that will happen, but I also know I'm imperfect. And then it breaks me to see the stuff that they're having to face and they're having to deal with, and I have to disciple them through that, knowing I'm still battling through some of those things. And then sometimes not that easy entering into God's presence, like, yes. He says, gaan so goed, gaan so lekker. But then I know for myself, baseer ek my verhouding met God, my intimacy met hom, my vryheid om hom te aanbid, die vreugde in my hart, omdat ek alles reg kry, of as gevolg van die bloed van Jesus, wat my toegang gegee het tot sy teenwoordigheid. Is dit David wat van binnenkant af kom en sê, Here God, ek bring my swakhede en my kinders se swakhede en alles bring ek nou voor u, Here, en hier gaan ek nou kom huil voor u. Hier gaan ek nou kom breek voor u, want Here, ek het u nodig en my kinders het u nodig, ons het u nodig, hierdie gesin het u nodig. Of gaan ek het wegdruk en onderdruk en sê, nee man, sien daar nie. Of dis julle en dit gaat niks met my te doen nie, of weet net nog harder wees op hulle, of jy weet net nog harder werk, of gaan ek eerlik wees net my hart uit met God, connect, ek weet nie wat is die Afrikaanse woord vir connect nie. Connect, nee? Ja. Met die K, connect. So hier is van die vraag, wat ek dink God vir ons as 'n kerk, familie, groepie gelowiges wat die Here saam aanbid, van tyd tot tyd wil vra. Why do I do what I do? Ek het hierdie vraag vir ons pastore gevra. Maar ek wil vir een en elkeen van ons vra. Hoekom doen ek wat ek doen? My werk, hier waar ek volunteer, why do I do what I do? Because ultimately, that is a hard question and a hard answer. It's maybe a hard question as well, but it's a hard question. En jy kan vir my een antwoord gee, want ek is lief vir hierdie kerk en ek wil dien en ek wil 'n verskil maak, prys die Here. Maar in jou hart van harte, is dit regtig so? Of dink jy miskien dalk as ek meer gaan dien, gaan God meer van my hou, of Frenkie gaan my raak sien, my oor nooi, of wie weet? En dan gaan dit nie hier oor om die regte antwoord te gee nie, dit gaan hier oor om die eerlike antwoord te gee. Because often when we read these questions, we have been so conditioned within our religious environment and our school system and everything, is you must give the right answer. And I think often what God is more interested in is giving the honest answer. John Andrews, who was here a while ago, and I think you mentioned it in your session as well, Niels, where he says, that God can't heal the person that you are pretending to be. Nee, God kan nie werk met die persoon wat jy voorgee om te wees nie. Hy kan wel werk met die een wie jy regtig is en wie jy erken om te wees. So why do I do what I do? It's a question I ask myself often. I know, why are you doing this? Why are you serving in this capacity? Why have you decided to together with your family do this? Why? Why am I in the town that I'm in? Hoekom sit jy in Wellington? If you don't have a heart conviction, and all sorts of other people and things will try and give you the answer to that question. Why are you here? Why am I part of this church family? Well, how do I view my brothers and my sisters? Who or what determine how I feel about myself? Oh, that's such an important one. And where do I look when things do not turn out the way I expected or wanted? These questions are too many to go through right now. I want to encourage you, maybe, yeah, take a picture of them. Niels can send the PowerPoint a little bit later on. Take some time to go through these questions at home. Werk hulle miskien deur in jou klein groepie. Gaan dink oor hulle, want geliefdes, hierdie vraag is te belangrik vir ons om dit net vinnig af te skryf en te dink dat 'n vinnige preekie gaan vir jou die antwoorde gee op hierdie. You've got to go and wrestle with him. Why am I here? Who am I looking to affirm me? To determine how I feel about myself, my self-worth, me as a person. Who or what determine how I feel about myself? Where do I get that from? And I want to encourage you to go and do some soul searching. We had an interesting holiday. We initially had a holiday planned to go to Namibia. Always looking forward to going to Nam. It's amazing. Open roads. Jy kan maar net ry, nee, jy ry nog so 'n bietjie voor jy iets of enige iemand sien. Dit is lekker ontspannend. En ons het baie uitgesien na daardie vakansie. Dit sou ook 'n bietjie van 'n bedieningsvakansie gewees het. Sou op 'n paar plekke bedien het en dan ook vakansie gehou het. En dis altyd iets waarna ons baie uitsien. En toe so 'n paar dae voor die vakansie besef ons daar's 'n paar van dokumente wat nie lekker in plek is nie, want ons moes ook aansien doen vir ons visum na die UK toe, so en die paspoort is nog daar van een van ons, twee van ons, en so nou is dit 2 dae voor die tyd, kan nie meer gaan nie. Hele gesin is 'n bietjie neer op die teer, lippe hang so 'n bietjie daaronder, en al die beplanning is gemaak en so wat nou. Dit was die beste ding wat met ons kon gebeur het. Want toe was dit 2 weke van net ons. Net as 'n gesin, niemand anders sê, geen bediening, geen vergaderings, geen niks, net ons as 'n family. En dit was God se plan met ons, om ons te kry by 'n plek van stil wees, by mekaar wees, bietjie kyk nou gaan met die hart, bietjie met ander familie connect. En ek is die Here dankbaar, I'm thankful for the fact he put a stop to that ministry trip. And initially it was God, but we did everything we could to go there. Now the devil is in this. And sometimes you give the devil a puck and a clap and poor devil is just like, no, it wasn't me. Yeah. We can give him a clap in any case. He deserves it. He's done a lot. enough damage. He can take a few extra clapper. But sometimes, you know, we shouldn't be rebuking the devil. We should be asking God, what are you wanting to say to me? What are you wanting to deal with me? En as ons daar was, dan sou ons nie hier kon gewees het vir van ons familie wat deur 'n moeilike tyd gegaan het nie. Is daar gesprekke wat ek en my vrou nie so lekker sou kon gehad het nie. Dinge wat ons met ons kinders nie sou kon deurgewerk het, as ons weer eens besig sou gewees het nie. Right, so God is going to, here's the good news guys, is that God is going to set you up for moments where you have to confront your heart. He's going to create opportunities for you, invitations for you, appointments, dates with your heart. The thing is, most of those opportunities and appointments will probably come within a mask of a frustration or a failure. Will come in an unexpected way. Just open up your heart to say, God, teach me. Show me. Ons nou, as 'n Shofar kerk familie, die Here het soveel nederigheid in ons kom inwerk. Prys God. En ons kan besef, en ons het dit hier geweet, maar ons weet dit nou ook hier, besig om dit uit te leef. Ons is nie so wonderlik nie. Ons is nie so incredible nie. Ons is nie enigstens beter as enige iemand anders daar buite nie. Ons is amazing want God is by ons en hy doen incredible dinge by ons. So aan die een kant is ons nie so amazing so wat ons gedink het en aan die ander kant is ons meer amazing as wat ons gedink het. Julle hoor wat ek sê? It's that you're not as incredible as you think you are and on the other hand you are more incredible than what you think you are. It's outside of Jesus, we are nothing, but with Jesus, we've got everything that we need. But there's a piece of humility God has worked into us to say, Jesus, we need you. But guess what? We also need our brothers. We also need the rest of the body of Christ. And I want to encourage you guys to go and maybe have these conversations even with somebody close to you, a spouse, friend, maybe even some of your kids. Have these conversations. Lead them. And dads, we will have to teach our children how to have conversations with their hearts. Hoes ons eerlik met mekaar? Hoes ek eerlik met myself? Kan ek hierdie vraag beantwoord? Kan ek ten minste hierdie gesprek hê met myself? En ons kinders leer hoe om dit te doen. So I quickly want to give you, within the next 10 minutes, just another perspective on this journey of the heart, but how God has been working with us. Three or four years ago, we had our Being One Convergence in Watanga. Who was there? I think most of you guys will remember. And it was such an amazing time where God came to drop this verse into our church family's heart about being one. Ironically speaking, was the time when that being one was challenged the most severely. All right, but this was the prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples and for all believers, and I believe for us as well. It says, Father, I didn't ask for these only, for these disciples. But I also ask for those who will believe in me through their word. And here we are. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. An amazing portion of scripture here where Jesus praying and saying, Father, I want all of your children to understand that as I'm in you and you are in me, so they are in us. And therefore, because they are in us, want dit is mos nou so, en ek is in Jesus, my lewe is in Christus, maar Jesus ook binne in my, en saam is ons in God, want ons is een. En as ons in God is, en ons is een met God, dan kry ek hierdie prentjie baie keer, wat gebeur is dat, as ons in Papa God se hart is, daar binne nie in sy hartskamer, nie lekker daar knus, dan soms maak jy jou oë oop, en dan kyk jy om en jy like, o, gits, is jy ook hierso? Wat, ek, yes, dit, ek hou nie so lekker van die ou wat ek hier sien nie. Maar guess what? Because I'm in Christ and in the Father, and that person, my brother, is in Christ and in the Father, we're all sitting in the same heart. So I can't be saying that kabang. Ek kan nie iemand daar uitskop uit God se hart uit nie. We are one. That's what it means. We are one. Our oneness is not because we agree on everything. Our oneness is not because we sing the same songs. We all move to the left at the same time, the right at the same time. No. Our oneness is because we are in Christ. We all share the same heart. In a way, we all share the same womb. The Father's heart. And then I'm challenged with, so what do I do within that heart? What's my attitude towards those around me? And the amazing thing is that God has been leading us to become comfortable with having other people in Father God's heart. To welcome them, to love them, because the Father loves them. So ek is lief vir jou, en ek aanvaar jou, en ek stap 'n pad met jou, nie met ons eye to eye sien oor alles nie, maar omdat ons in dieselfde hart is. Omdat ons dieselfde pappa het. Ons deel dieselfde hart, dieselfde hartskamer. And I'm so excited to see how God has been journeying with us. And this verse, which many of us, we were holding on to this verse prophetically. And we were saying, Jesus, let it be. You have prophesied this. You have prayed this over us. We're holding on to this. We can now say, Jesus, we are seeing this. That prophecy, that prayer, that cry of our hearts, we can sense it. It's a reality in our midst, and we are growing into that. So I'm blessed by the growth in our unity. Not based on uniformity, but based upon a common passion to see the lost come to salvation. That's what binds us together. And that's what binds better together. Together. Ek het Vrydag, Donderdag, 'n lekker ontbyt gehad met die predikant van NG Kerk Suid daar in Strand. En het lekker, waar ons kon gesels, hart tot hart, en ons kom achter, maar Jesus, daar is baie meer wat ons saambind as wat ons verdeel. Baie meer wat ons saambind as wat ons verdeel. En ek sê vir God, Here, dankie, U is besig om net vir ons as show vir familie een te maak, nie, U is besig om ons as 'n groter liggaam van Christus een te maak. En dit maak my ongelooflik opgewonde. Ongelooflik opgewonde, hoe ons as die liggaam van Christus besig is om van ons nonsens ontslae te raak en mekaar te embrace. I see signs of revival in that. There's this guy called Rupertus Meldinius, right? He lived, or he wrote an article, a peace pamphlet around 1627 during the 30-year war between the Protestants and the Catholics in Europe. Right? About 8 million people died during that time. They killed one another in the name of religion. And then he wrote a peace pamphlet, and the one line that many of us know well, he coined. And he says, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. In essentials, unity, the things that are really important, let's be united around those things. In non-essentials, let's give one another space to disagree, but in all things, let's walk in love with one another. And I think that's something we can apply to one another here within the family and also with the rest of the body of Christ on the outside. And then, after that, God started speaking to us about being known for love. Remember? And it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I've loved you. You also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And I don't have to preach to you guys. You just ooze love out of every pore of your being. I can sense it just walking into this place. And I'm excited to see how we've stepped up as a church family, how we are loving one another from the heart. Because you know what? Again, you can have it up on a banner. You can sing the songs, but unless we do it, love is at the end of the day not a song, it's not a sermon, it's not a book, it's not a tweet, it's not a Facebook post. Love is a verb. Amen? Love is something which we do. And I want to commend you guys and ask you to continue just doing it. Keep on loving one another. It's been amazing to see how God has been just releasing a new measure of love inside of our hearts. But once again, guys, even if we are in an environment like this, each one of us still has to make the choice. Am I going to love? Am I going to love from my heart? Am I going to take that risk? Because at the end of the day, loving is a risk. It's always a risk, né? For ons om oor te stap na iemand anders toe en te sê, ek is jammer, vergewe my. Kan ons gesels? Kan ons hy koffie gaan drink? Yes, man, ek het koffie gedrink hierdie afgelope 3 jaar. Yes, like het in gesprekke gehad. Ek het denk, Jesus nie alweer nie. Moet ons alweer. Heinrich, kan ons 'n bietjie gaan koffie? En ek yes man, okay, daar's koffie en dan is daar koffie. Nee, en hierdie is dalk daai ander koffie van ons gaan moet gesels. Maar prys God. Nee, omdat ons gesels het, is daar nou plek en waar ons net kan koffie. Maak dit sin? Because we had the coffee, now we just coffee. En soms wil ons 'n kleiner koffietjie hê waar daar niks ernstig oor gepraat word nie. But we're leaving the big things behind and we're just superficial. And sometimes you just have to go deep. You've got to say, man, it's enough now. It's enough. Jy kan nie weer daai grappie maak nie, ou. Nee, jy kan nie. Dis nie aan nie. Right, dit offend my. Kan ons hieroor praat asseblief? Of as jy dit doen dan whatever. Okay, maar ek vir jou woorde in jou gedagtes sit nie. Jy weet wat dit is wat jy met jou broer of jou suster moet deurwerk. And now God is coming and he's saying to us, guys, because of your unity and your love for one another, you are growing in, I'm about to release a sound of the harvest over you. I'm about to release a sound of the harvest. And we see this beautiful verse. I apologize, I lied to you. I said 10 minutes. Please bear with me. Jesus, help me to finish. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country? He goes after the one that is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Here we see at least two sounds already. We see that the shepherd leaves the 99, goes after the one sheep that is lost. What is he looking for as he's walking through the field? The first thing probably that he's looking for is the sound of that sheep's bleating. Nee? Meh. Iewers is daar meh. Iewers is daar skaapie vasgevang. Iewers is daar iemand wat besig is om iets te breek iewers, om iets aan te vang en op die oog af lyk het dood eenvoudig net 'n rebelse, haatgevulde mens, maar in actual fact, there's a little sheep bleating there. And I believe God wants us to hear. Not just to hear, but to hear the sound of the lost sheep. It's the first sound there. The second sound that probably is if you would be looking at that shepherd going out, he would be listening to that sheep's voice, but he would also be calling that sheep. So the sound of the harvest is the sound of the sheep out there crying out for help, but it's also the sound of the shepherd calling that sheep by name. Heinrich! Heinrich! Because that is what the shepherd does. He calls us. And so my heart's cry is that we would hear the sound of the sheep. But my heart's cry is also we would hear the sound of the shepherd. Because the shepherd is busy calling people. And if we can hear, who is he calling today? Who is he calling today? At my workplace, at school, in my family, who is he calling? And I believe the last sound, the first sound is the sound of the sheep, the sound of the shepherd. And then the last one, there's the sound of rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. There's a sound of rejoicing coming, guys. Sound of rejoicing as the lost come to salvation. It's the greatest sound ever. I listened to the Liverpool fans the other day singing, "You Will Never Walk Alone." My heart rejoiced. It was an incredible sound. None of you can relate because you're not Liverpool supporters, but those of you are, you will know. It was a beautiful sound, but it was a worship service. Hundreds of thousands of people in that stadium, not hundreds of thousands, but a lot, worshiping the soccer team. There's a sound of rejoicing when the lost come to salvation. That God is stirring in the heart. And I believe songs are going to be sung over the lost coming to salvation. There are songs God is releasing over us. And I want to ask you to take a few minutes and I want to read through this prayer with you. Because if we are going to be ready for the harvest, we have to prepare our hearts. And I want to ask you to just prepare your heart. This prayer was one of Mother Teresa's favorite prayers. She didn't write the prayer, but it's one of her favorites that she prayed often. And I'm going to give you just a few seconds to read through the name. Then I want to read this prayer, and I want to ask that you would, if you can relate to that, you would read this with me. Just take a few seconds and just read through that. It's a deliverance prayer that deals with the heart. It's got nothing to do with on the outside. It's about Jesus, my heart. And it's a prayer that I've been praying. And I want to ask us that we would, from our hearts, say, Jesus, if there's anything inside of me that needs any of these things, just deliver me from that. Because those things are blockages between us and our brothers. They're blockages between us and the lost. They're blockages between us and our Father. And I'm going to leave this with Niels, and you guys can walk through this and pray through this in your own quiet time as well. Oh Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. Let's read together. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me. From the desire of being loved, deliver me. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me. From the desire of being honored, deliver me. From the desire of being praised, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being preferred to others, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me. From the desire of being approved, deliver me. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me. From the fear of being calumniated, deliver me. That just means slandered. From the fear of being forgotten, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being wronged, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being suspected, deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I, Jesus, grant me the desire, the grace to desire it. That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be chosen and I set aside, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be praised and I unnoticed, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be preferred to me in everything, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the great deliverer. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the amazing and the incredible things that you are doing in this church, Lord, in this congregation, the amazing journey that you have been on with these incredible people, Father. You know, Lord, that my heart is just filled with so much gratitude, Lord. Such a sense, Lord, that I'm on holy ground in the presence of your people. So many people, Father, who have such an incredible relationship with you, such an open connection with you, Lord, such an incredible sense of knowing that you love them and that they, Lord God, are surrendered to you. So many who are living, Lord, surrendered to your purposes and to your plans. So many laying their lives down in so many countless ways that many others are completely unaware of. Such heartfelt devotion to you, Lord, that is not concerned with the opinions of people and of trying to please others, Lord. And therefore, Father, it is with such a deep sense of reverence and awe that I stand before you this morning, God. And Father, I want to pray over these, your people, that you will take them to the next level of deliverance, O Jesus. I pray, Lord, that the circumcision of the heart that you have in store for us will be cut deep in this church, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the covenants, Lord God, made with you here, Father, will be cemented, Lord God, to go beyond just the Sunday morning meeting, Father, but to infiltrate and to overwhelm and to be part of every hour of every day, O God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the incredible way that you've made this church so attractive through their unity and through the love that they have for one another. And I thank you for a passion that you've placed inside of them that makes them not just attractional, Lord God, and not just attractive, but also makes them missional. And so I pray, Lord God, for the two-edged sword to be, Lord God, within the hands of this church, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father. Lord God, I thank you for the shepherds that you've placed here, the elders, Lord, together with the other leaders. Thank you for that sword. I sense, Lord, you saying that you are sharpening this sword, the two-edged sword of being so attractive that the world will be drawn to them, but at the same time to be so missional that they won't wait for the world to come but go. Lord, that there will be a continuous, I just see these two doors open, people coming in and people leaving. But the people leaving are not leaving not to come back, they're leaving to bring others in. And so, Father, thank you, Lord God, for the arteries, Lord, of this church's heart that you have come to open up, Lord, in a new dimension. I sense, Lord, that you are saying that they have experienced much, but what they have experienced is simply a deposit. It's simply a trickle. It's simply a drop of what is to come. Lord, I sense that you are saying, God, that the time of breakthrough is at hand. God, I sense that you are saying that many seeds have been sown and that the time of harvest is here. Lord God, that there are men and women in this place who have been crying out to you in secret for 10, 12, 15 years, standing in faith, sowing seed into ministry, sowing seed of prayer, seed of faith, seed of service into areas, Lord, where they have found a deep-seated sense of disillusionment, feeling that they have hit a brass ceiling. But God, that you are saying that the time of breakthrough is at hand, that the time of harvesting is at hand. And so, Father, I want to release over this church, Lord, a season of harvesting. I release over this church, Lord God, an expectation to come, destroy bale in te dra, Here, die koringerwe in te bring, Here, in Jesus' name. Here, ons roep die trekkers in, Here, ons roep die stroop in, Here. Ons dank die Vader God dat almal gaan kom, die met die grawe, die met hulle pikke, Here, die met die groter masjinerie gaan kom, Vader God, dat elkeen a rol het om te speel, Here, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you're saying, Lord, that you are going to release this church into prophetic anointing to judge not on the outside, but according to the heart. Lord, that there is going to be a deep-seated work of fire in the hearts of your people here that you are doing, Lord God, that will be released into the very spirit and the atmosphere of this valley. Thank you, Lord, that you've come to do a heart transplant. And that it's taking place, Lord, within this very place and in front of our eyes, oh God. And I thank you for that, Lord. God, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord God, for a deep-seated dissatisfaction with useless spiritual activity, things that are void from life. And God, that you come this morning to restore that connection, Father. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for this very clear picture that you're showing me of shepherds in this place. There's a shepherding anointing upon this congregation. And you are the answer to a prayer that Jesus has prayed, and he has said that I will raise up shepherds after my own heart, where his heart breaks for the sheep that are scattered across the mountains without a shepherd. And I sense that the Lord is saying that you are in a very real way an answer to his prayer. And that in your midst, there are shepherds lying here. And I see you, just some of you distracted. And I see some of you looking at your staff, and your staff is broken. Some of you are looking at your shepherding clothes, and they're dirty and they're torn, and you feel so inadequate. And yet I sense God is saying that he has called you as a shepherd. He has called you as a shepherd. He's called you to go after the lost sheep. He has called you to lay your life down for the sheep, not even in a way that you think you need to, but simply responding to his heart. And so, Father, I want to call forth the shepherds, Lord God, in this place, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Call them, Lord God, to a place, Father, of surrender to you. But Father, I pray that they will know that you are shepherding their hearts. There are some shepherds here, and you are actually lost in your heart. You're going through the motions, but you are lost in your heart. You think the shepherd has forgotten about you. And he's calling you as a sheep to come to him this morning, to experience his shepherding of you. His shepherding of you. He has not given up on you, and he hasn't given up on your calling. He hasn't given up on the words that he has spoken over your life. And he's calling you by name this morning. If you would just come and bring your heart with everything in it, don't look to man. Man doesn't have the answer. Bring your heart to him. 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 God, thank you. Lord, I sense that there's going to be like a training school or a hub just for shepherds, Lord God. Lord, of people to receive an impartation of love and to go in love and to bring others in, Lord, in this place. In the name of Jesus, Father. God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for the heart connection with you, Lord. And Jesus, I want to ask you that if you know God has spoken to your heart, that you would come. And just there's Father God just wants to shepherd you, wants to give you a new dimension of your heart being at ease with Him. Some of you, you are really in top leadership. You are really following God passionately. But there are some things, some conversations you've been having in your heart that you're even surprised by it. You're surprised by the anger. You're surprised by the disillusionment. You're surprised by the just the gunk in there. Some of you have seen stuff in your flesh and you're like, it shouldn't be there. And I just feel God is calling you to live from the inside out. It's like men say, kom net, die Here, jou hart net kan kom skoon maak. Ek kan kom uitwas, ek kan kom uitwas, ek kan kom skoon was. Hy veroordeel jou nie. Ek voel net dat die Here net, hy roep jou net, moenie hy goed op jou eie dra nie. Just come to receive just a cleansing, just come to receive a cleansing, just come to receive a cleansing. Oh shepherd, just come. I just see that God is wanting to restore some of your, the staff, the shepherd's rod. He just wants to restore that. There's authority here. There's some dads here. God is wanting to restore your authority. You've lost your authority to disciple your son because you're still struggling in some areas and he's just calling you. He's just calling. He wants to restore just your authority. It's not an authority in you getting everything right. So iemand hier en jy probeer so hard om nie soos jou pa te wees nie en jy sien het meer en meer van jou pa in jou en het intimideer jou en dit is besig om jou ten gronde te drijf en jy wil opgee en die Here roep jou. Hy roep jou vanochtend. Hy roep jou. Kom net weg van die gees van slavernij af. Just come and receive His grace. Just come and receive His grace to parent. Just to be a son first before you are dad again. He just wants you to know how much He loves you as His son. Just come. Just come, just come, just come. Just come. Dat is die oma hier en jy. Ja, jy het nodig om te weet dat God ken jou hart. Hy sien jou hart en hy sê vir jou dat jou twee kleinkinders nie verlore sal gaan nie. He's heard the cry of your heart. And He just wants to wrap His arms around you. He just wants to wrap His arms around you. He just wants to. He's 'n onderwyser hier en jy het so hard vir die gebrokenes om jou, vir die kinders om jou, maar daar's actually iets binne in jou wat jy voel is 'n groot diskwalifiserende faktor in jou lewe en jy voel net asof God jou nie kan vertrou met hierdie kinders nie en jy voel so inadequate en jy voel so gediskwalifiseerd en God sê, hy het jou geroep om 'n papa te wees vir hy kids. En hy het dit van salving wat hy oor jy wil kom breek vanochtend. Om 'n papa te wees. Nie die emotions te gaan nie, maar jy moet kom. Dit is asof jy net so begin weg. Asof het net te seer is, sommige van die pijn. Maar jy sien in die kinderse levens, is vir jou net te erg. En jy is nou in the valley of decision, where you have to decide whether you're going to allow your heart to become hardened. Just to survive, or whether you're going to come. And you're just going to allow His compassion to flood through you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we worship you, God. Let us raise our hands to the Lord as we're standing here at the front and you do business with God just where you are. I'm even just so hesitant to put words in your mouth. This is your heart. This is your heart. This is your heart. And jy moet hom bring voor Jesus vanochtend. You've got to, even if you don't know what's going on in your heart, some of you have to ask God, Lord, show me what's going on in my heart. Show me what to do with what you've shown me. God, I bring the collective heart of this church before you, Lord. En ek voel die Here sê dat daar is herlewing wat geblok was. It's a wave that came, but it was blocked because of pride and division. And church, if you would covenant in your heart to walk humbly before God, to honor the rest of His children, that He will release waves upon waves upon waves of revival that would stretch into generations. But it's your heart that's going to steer it. And so, Father, I want to pray for the heart. And I pray for Neil's father, just as representative, Lord, of the heart of this congregation. And I thank you for the capacity you've given him to love. And I thank you, Lord, for an increase for him and the rest of his leaders, God. just to receive the healing anointing, God, the anointing to steward. I sense the Lord is saying that He's called you and He also steward revival. To steward revival. To steward revival. To steward revival. And so, Father, I thank you for a man. Here, wat sy, en het sy klere skeer voor u, Here, maar sy hart. Thank you for the heart of David. I see perde ruiters van hierdie plek af weggaan, going to places that look inaccessible, and they go looking for the one. If you will continue to look for the one, I believe the Lord is saying, I will trust you with 100. If you continue to love the 100, I will trust you with 1,000. If you continue to disciple the 1,000, I will multiply the 1,000s. If you can, and if your knees allow you to do it, don't you just want to kneel with me this morning? Here He is, God, and ons is nie. We give you our hearts afresh, Lord. Maybe if you've never given and surrendered your heart to Jesus, you can just pray this and say, Jesus, I give you my heart. I surrender my entire life to you. Come and do with me what you please. For all of us, God, we surrender to you. And we thank you for the cloak of righteousness that is ours. Come and have your conversations, Jesus. Come and have your heart to heart with us.